Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, showcasing programs from radio's golden years. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Sitcoms in this hour. Later on, Duffy's Tavern from 1950, but first an episode of The Great Gildersleeve, an NBC broadcast from May 28, 1944.
Kraft presents The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah.
Kraft Cheese Company, makers of parquet margarine and a complete line of famous quality food products, presents Harold Perry as The Great Gildersleeve. Kraft brings you The Great Gildersleeve every week at this time, written by John Whedon and Sam Moore. Let's follow once more the ups and downs in the career of Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve. Last week, he had one of his ups. At the annual outing given for the city employees, he stole the show with his fruity baritone and forced Mayor Terwilliger to retire in confusion. And today, we find him still riding the crest of that wave as he strolls down Main Street with his campaign manager, Judge Hooker, about to enter Floyd Munson's barbershop.
After you, Gildy.
No, after you, Judge.
I insist, after you.
No, after you.
Well then.
Well, make up your mind.
I'll make up yours.
All right, after me.
Close the door, gents. You're letting in flies.
Oh, hello, Floyd. How's business? How's the wife? That's fine.
Hi, Commissioner. Thought it was about time you were coming around.
Oh, I'm overdue, Floyd. Overdue. But I haven't had time. Well, and I haven't one for a real haircut today. Just a little trim.
Okay, climb right up in the chair there. Hi, Judge.
Good day, Floyd.
Make yourself at home with the magazines there. The new Esquire that's worth looking at.
I'm not interested in Esquire, Floyd. Where is it?
Well, it's there somewhere. Don't miss the Varga girl. Brother, that girl telephones in the darndest positions. Well, how you been, Commissioner?
Well, I can't complain, Floyd. Can't complain.
I hear where you knocked him dead at the mayor's picnic the other day.
Oh, hardly that, Floyd. Did you see what the indicator said about me?
Yeah, I saw that.
Judge, you've got the newspaper clipping there. Read it to Floyd.
But I told you I read it.
That's all right. Read it again, Judge. I like to hear it. Judge.
What's that?
Put down the Esquire and read us that clipping from the indicator again, will you?
Oh, certainly. I got it right here.
Yeah, read us the part about the ovation.
This is from the indicator, Floyd. It's an editorial.
I know. I read it.
It says, at the recent annual outing of the city employees of Summerfield, Mr. Gildersleeve received an impressive ovation.
How do you like that? An impressive ovation?
Head down a little, Commissioner, please.
Oh, yes.
Listen, do you want me to read this or don't you?
Oh, go ahead, Judge. Read it. Quiet, Floyd, quiet.
Mr. Gildersleeve received an impressive ovation and proved himself a real vote-getter with a golden voice and a knack of swaying crowds.
Not bad, eh, Floyd? A real vote-getter.
Wait a minute. Listen to this. Behind this smart campaigning may be seen the guiding hand of his astute campaign manager, Judge Horace Hooker.
Astute.
We predict that between them, they'll give Mayor Terwilliger a real run for his money.
Pretty swell write-up, eh, Floyd?
Yes, it is, Commissioner. I only hope you're not going to forget your friends when you get up there in the mayor's office.
Oh, don't worry, Floyd.
Mayor Gildersleeve will know who his real friends are, Floyd. I'll see to that.
What do you mean, Judge?
I think you know what I mean.
Why, I've been for Mr. Gildersleeve right along. You know that.
Floyd, don't add perjury to your other sins.
What?
They're numerous enough already.
Now, Judge.
You got me all wrong, Judge. Why, only the other
day... You're a Terwilliger man, and you know it.
Floyd, is this true?
Commissioner, I hope I may die tomorrow if I... Why, only the other day...
Floyd.
Well, sure, I cut the mayor's hair, sure. Business is business. I gotta be polite to him, don't I?
Perhaps. You don't have to run his political errands for him. You don't have to be his stooge.
Now, Judge, I think that's going a little far.
Easy, Horace. Let's not be calling any harsh names.
You can't blame a man just because he cut somebody's hair. Cutting hair is my business.
Yeah, and you'd cut a throat just as quickly.
Now, Horace. Put down that razor, Floyd. Let's straighten this out.
Well, I think the judge owes me an apology.
Apology for what?
Now, I think Floyd sees which way the political wind is blowing, Judge.
You're darn right I do.
I feel sure he's going to vote the way his conscience tells him to. Aren't you, Floyd?
You're darn right I am.
Then why, may I ask, has he consistently refused to lend your campaign any assistance whatsoever?
Judge, how can you say that? I've been for the commissioner here right along. Why, only the
Listen,
other day I
we said... need office space for our headquarters. The floor above this shop is empty, and it would be ideal.
Now,
but every time that I've asked you to let us use it, you've hemmed and hawed and stalled around. Now, how about it?
Yes, Floyd, how about it?
Well, gosh, fellas, you put me in kind of a difficult position.
How about it, Floyd?
Well, voting for Mr. Gildersleeve is one thing, but having his headquarters right here in the shop, gosh, I'm liable to lose some trade that way.
Only the undesirable trade, Floyd.
The time has come, Floyd, for every man to make his choice and declare himself. Is it yes or no?
Well, all right.
Fine, I knew you would, Floyd. Now, Judge, you get busy and see if you can rustle up some office furniture. I don't suppose there's any up there, Floyd.
Oh, nothing but an old piano.
Well, we need a couple of desks and some chairs and, you know, and some fire.
Yeah, I'll get right on it, Gildy. I think I even know where I can borrow an electric fan.
Great. I'll run home and see if I can round up some volunteer workers. Hey, let me up, Floyd.
Yeah, but the haircut, I haven't finished, Commissioner.
We'll call it done. Finish it some other time. Here, keep the change.
Say, you don't let any moss grow, do you?
Not me.
Uh-oh, telephone.
Yeah, I'll take it.
Oh.
Gildersleeve headquarters.
She and I had a nice, quiet little business here.
Yeah. Who left that right inside the door?
Is that you, Uncle Mort?
Certainly it's me. Look at this hallway. Baseball gloves, comic books. It's lucky I didn't break my neck. Where's Leroy?
He's up in his room. He's got his commando gang up there.
Well, they better stay there. I've got some telephoning to do.
Well, I won't bother you. I'm going to the movies.
Oh, not this afternoon, my dear. I need your help.
Oh, Uncle Moore.
Yeah? Where's Bertie? I need you both this afternoon. Oh, Bertie! Bertie!
Oh, gosh, this always happens.
You calling me, Mr. Gildersleeve?
Yeah, Bertie.
I thought I heard your golden voice.
No, Bertie.
That's what it said in the paper, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Well, never mind that. I wonder if you'd like to do a little political work this afternoon, Bertie.
What kind of political work, Mr. Gildersleeve?
Well, we're opening up our new headquarters downtown, and there's quite a few things to be done.
Yes, sir. Political work, you say?
Well, it'll be a definite contribution to my campaign, but it's not anything like making speeches.
No, sir. Is there anything like sweeping and dusting out the office?
That's it, Bertie. But Marjorie will help you, won't you, my dear?
Well.
What's that? Oh, darn those kids. How about it, Marjorie? Will you help Bertie get the new headquarters ready?
Well, I don't see why it has to be cleaned on the one afternoon the Cary Grant picture's at the Majestic.
Marjorie, Cary Grant will be back again someday.
Yes, but by that time I'll be an old woman.
Oh, my God. Oh, ye God, what are those kids doing up there? If that racket starts again, I'm going up there myself. And you, young lady, you're going to help me this afternoon.
All right.
Don't feel bad, honey. We all got to help your uncle. We all got to give up something. I'm going to have to give up doing the laundry this afternoon.
Yes, there you are, my dear. Bertie gives up her laundry. You give up Cary Grant. Cheer up. It'll all be over on June the 20th.
Because I'm head of the commandos.
Well, the whole thing was my idea, so
I get first shot.
Oh, for corn's sake, the commandos will please come to order.
What's that mean?
Peggy, don't you know anything? Everybody knows what come to order means.
Well, I don't. What does it mean, Leroy?
It means shut up.
Who said you were the head?
Peggy, that's all settled. Go ahead and make your speech.
Why does he go next?
What difference does it make? Leroy just told you it doesn't make any difference. Fellow commandos, I believe I should be the first to use the new flamethrower because it was my idea. I thought of the whole thing. I thank you.
Very good, Piggy. Okay, Whitey, you're next.
Well, I think I should get first shot because my father owns the blowtorch, and if I don't, I'll take it home.
Hey, that's no fair! If you do that, you're a poor sport, Whitey.
Besides, who thought of it in the first place?
I don't care. Well, let's get this over with. Let's have the vote. Who do you vote for, Whitey?
I vote for me.
You're not supposed to vote for yourself, you dope. Who do you vote for, Pig?
Me.
Then I'll vote for myself, too. Only I forgot to tell you, in case of a tie, the chairman wins.
Hey, that's over.
Now look what you did.
Is that you, Unc?
You know who it is. Open the door.
Okay.
Now, what's going on in here, young man?
Oh, nothing, Unc.
Oh, not a thing, Mr. Gildersleeve.
We were just playing, Mr. Gildersleeve.
I never heard such yelling and screaming in my life. Now, what's it all about?
Oh, nothing. We were just having a little discussion, and then we took a vote, just like in Congress.
I don't believe even Congress could make that much noise. Now, what were you discussing?
Oh, we were talking about who gets first shot with our new flamethrower.
Oh? Flamethrower? What are you boys using for a flamethrower?
Here it is, Mr. Gildersleeve. It isn't a flamethrower, really. It's just my father's blowtorch.
Oh, well, blowtorch? Leroy, Piggy, all of you stand back. Get away from that thing.
There's nothing to be afraid of, Unc. We carried it over here.
We'll carry it right back. Is it loaded?
Yeah, she's all ready to squirt. You want to take a shot, Mr. Gildersleeve?
No, thank you. Now, I'll speak to whoever lets you have it. I can promise you that. Turn a bunch of kids loose with a red-hot blowtorch. Who told you you could have it? Who let you have it?
Well, Whitey's father wasn't using it, so... Well, we didn't think he'd mind.
Leroy, that is stealing. Boys, I'm surprised at you. This is the kind of thing that leads to gangsterism.
Oh, it couldn't, Unc. We're just commandos. Yeah.
When you start stealing blowtorches, you're gangsters, Leroy. Now, why can't you boys find some wholesome occupation for your time?
There ain't any.
There aren't any.
Oh.
Well, I'll provide one for you. I'll give you boys an assignment much more important than playing commando. I'll give you a chance to help the whole community.
Is it work, Unc?
Let me explain it my own way, Leroy. As you boys probably know, I'm running for mayor of Summerfield.
Yeah, I saw you win the pie-eating contest at the picnic.
cute. Well, Mayor Terwilliger has got posters up all over town with his picture on them, telling people to vote for him. Now, I want to put some posters around with my picture on them. And if you boys will distribute my posters, you'll be doing the city of Summerfield a big favor. Now, doesn't that appeal to your patriotism? Perhaps I haven't made that quite clear.
Oh, yeah, it's pretty clear.
I'm offering you, commandos, a chance to fight the forces of corruption in this town. Give Summerfield a good, honest government. What do you say? I forgot to mention, each commando gets 50 cents when the job is done.
An afternoon of hard work by everyone but the candidate himself has put his headquarters in pretty good shape. But there's just one difficulty. Nobody has come near the place. Gildersleeve, however, is leaving no stone unturned. He's keeping open in the evening, too. And we find him now coming back from supper to relieve his friend, Mr. Peavy.
Well, Peavy, anything happen while I was out?
No, Mr. Gildersleeve, nothing happened. At least, nothing worth mentioning.
Ah, in politics, Peavy, anything may be significant. Now, what happened and when?
Well, about 5 minutes past seven, a mouse ran across the floor.
A mouse, Peavy. I thought you might be passing up something important.
Well, that's all that happened. I can show you his hole if you think it's worth following up.
Let it go, Peavy, let it go. I can't understand why more people don't drop in here. Aren't there any politicians in this town? Don't the voters want to be informed?
Well, here comes somebody. Maybe a voter.
Ah, good evening, candidate. Hi, Peavy.
It's only Hooker. Darn it, Judge. We haven't had a customer here all day.
Yeah, things have been pretty quiet.
Well, give yourself a little time, boys. Takes a while to get things rolling. Did you get the posters out, Gildy?
Yeah, Leroy and some of his little friends took them out this afternoon. They were very enthusiastic.
Fine, fine. Oh, I had a call from Mrs. Pettibone at the Woman's Club. She wanted you to sing for them next week.
I'm too busy to be going around singing, Judge.
That's what I told her. It must be terrible to be so popular, Gildy. Especially with the women.
Anyway, those women aren't women. No women are women when you get a bunch of them together.
Well, no, I wouldn't say that. I saw a group of young ladies in the trolley car this afternoon. Lovely.
Peavy. Peavy, what's come over you?
I don't know, but I rode two blocks past my store.
Well, here comes somebody.
Don't worry, it won't be anybody.
Hi, Floyd.
Yeah, what did I tell you?
Well, boys, how's the campaign coming on?
Nobody even knows we're here, Floyd. We might as well go home.
Home? What's the use of going there? If you got a headquarters, you might as well get some use of it.
What do you mean, Floyd?
I told the wife I was coming down here to help get you fellas organized. She didn't believe it for a while, but I convinced her.
So what?
Well, brought a deck of cards with me.
Ooh. That's a good idea, Floyd. Why should we sit here all night and just worry?
Well, we might play just a few hands.
Sure, nobody wants to play poker all night.
No.
Pull up a chair, Judge. Pull up a chair, Peavy.
Oh, I don't think I'd better, Floyd. I think I'll just be running along.
Oh, no, you don't, Peavy. Your wife's out and we need at least four players.
But I don't really understand the game, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Yeah. We'll teach you, Peavy. Eh, Floyd?
call. What do you got this time, Peavy?
Well, it really doesn't amount to much. All I've got is three queens and then these two eights.
Well, I'm licked.
Telephone.
You take it, Judge. Another hand, boys.
Yeah, deal faster. I'll never get even.
Gildersleeve headquarters. I'm sorry, Mr. Gildersleeve is very busy right now. This is campaign manager. Could I give him a message?
Must be long distance the way the judge is shouting.
Yeah? Yes? In just a minute, I'll ask him. It's the president of the Kiwanis Club, Gildy. They're giving a smoker Friday night, and they want to know if you'll be the guest of honor.
Oh, tell them I'd be only too happy. I suppose they'll want me to say a few words.
Mr. Gildersleeve says that he'd be only too happy to say a few words.
Ask him what topic they'd like me to speak on, Judge.
Oh? Oh, I see. Well, just a minute. They don't want you to speak, Gildy. They want you to sing.
Sing? What is this? I'm a busy man, Judge. I'm trying to run a campaign. Tell him certainly not.
I'm sorry, Mr. Gildersleeve is extremely busy with his campaigning these days, and he... What's that? $800.
Dollars?
Hold the wire. He says if you'll do it, he can practically guarantee you 800 votes. You better grab it, Gildy.
Say, for 800 votes, I'd sing all night.
Mr. Gildersleeve would be delighted. He'll be there with his music.
Well, what do you know about that?
You're getting to be a regular thrush, Commissioner.
Gildy, I've got it. I've got it. By golly, I've got it.
You've got what?
The old fox has done it again.
The old goat.
Look, now, how did Pappy O'Daniel get to be governor of Texas?
O'Daniel? Ain't he the guy that used to sing Pass the Biscuits, Pappy?
That's right. He toured the state with a band, and he sang his way right into office. There's the keynote of your campaign.
By George, Horace, maybe you've stumbled onto something there.
Stumbled my eye.
Yeah, you know, all you need is a good campaign song, Commissioner. Look, like this one.
Oh, brother. Floyd, where'd you get that piano?
I don't know. It came with the joint. Yes. Now, listen. Oh, vote for Gildy, Gildy. Gildersleeve's a grand old name.
No. I've got it. Oh, what a pal is Gildy. Oh, what a pal is Gildy.
No, boys, that's no good. Wait a minute. Oh, here's one. Oh, Gildersleeve,
sweet Gildersleeve.
Oh, mayors come and mayors may go.
Now what?
We still have him, so do not grieve.
Yes,
but vote for him on June the 20th.
Yeah.
Hey, fellas, this is kind of fun.
Yeah, let's sing it again.
Hey, Peavy, how's to run down the block and bring up a couple of bottles of Coca-Cola? What do you say? Huh?
Ready?
Oh, Gildersleeve. Oh,
take it. Gildersleeve headquarters, Gildersleeve speaking. What? Leroy? What's he done? Now, see here, you can't do that. You hold on, I'll be right down there.
What's wrong, Gildy?
Leroy, they got him down at police headquarters.
What for?
Darned if I know. I thought he was home in bed, Judge. Anyway, it's persecution, that's what it is. By George, if Terwilliger's back of this, I'll have the law on him. Come on, fellas. Come on, Floyd. Come on, Peavy. I'll tell this two for a nickel stooge of Mayor Terwilliger.
That's right. You tell him, Commissioner.
You fellas had better let me handle this.
Terwilliger can't push me around, and he can't push my family around either.
Gildy, for heaven's sake, be tactful.
Tactful? You're an appeaser, you old goat.
Quiet. Now, I think that we should leave Floyd and Peavy outside here.
Okay. If you need any help, Commissioner, just holler.
Unc, don't let him put me in jail. I want to go home.
Don't worry, Leroy.
Now, see here, Chief. I'm not going to stand for this.
Gildy, please.
You can't push me around just because Terwilliger is mayor. And if I...
Now, wait a minute, Commissioner. Nobody's pushing anybody around yet. So let's not start anything, shall we?
That's what I've been telling him, Chief. Shut up, Gildersleeve, and let me represent Leroy.
Well, he's my nephew, and I...
Shut up. Give me a cigar.
Cigar? Here.
Thank you. Have a cigar, Chief.
Much obliged, Judge.
Now... What's my young friend here charged with?
Well, I haven't been able to figure out the law on a judge. It might be a 92A, and then on the other hand, it might be a 316.
What have you been doing, Leroy?
Nothing, Unc.
Will you kindly let me handle this, Gildersleeves? Forget the law, Chief. What is it the boy's done?
Well, he went around town, and all the Terwilliger posters he could find, he put Hitler mustaches on them.
How could you do such a thing, Leroy?
I was just trying to help you out, Unc. Don't let him put me in jail.
Now, don't you worry, Leroy. Look, Chief, can't we just forget this whole thing?
Well, I'd like to, Judge, but Mayor Terwilliger's pretty sore about this. He wants the guilty party punished.
Yeah, Terwilliger, eh? This is political persecution, that's what it is.
Oh, no, it's not.
Oh, yes, it is. You're his chief of police, and he wants you to hamstring my campaign. I know. Any charge is good enough to throw at Gildersleeve.
Guilty, please.
Now, you're all wrong, Mr. Gildersleeve. Why, if you want to know, I had a complaint an hour ago about a terrible racket going on down at your headquarters. But did I do anything about it? I didn't even bother to call you.
Racket, you say?
Well, that was the complaint. Disturbing the neighbors. Yeah,
but, Chief, we weren't making any racket. We were just singing.
That's right, Chief. A little close harmony, that's all.
Well, I figured it was something like that. But you know how these nuts are. They call up all the time, always squawking about some little thing.
Yeah, I know.
You were harmonizing, huh?
Yes. Too bad we didn't have the chief there, Gildy. He sings a wonderful bass.
He does?
Yeah.
Well, that's just what we needed.
Well, I'm no Caruso.
Well, the judge is no Lily Pons either. Why don't we just run through it once, Judge, while we've got the chief here? Go get the boys, Judge.
Well, this is very irregular, but if...
Floyd, Phoebe, come in here.
M is for the million things she gave me. Come on, Chief.
O means that only she, that she's growing old.
Oh, you're great, Chief.
T is for the tears he shed to save me. H is for her heart of pure as gold.
Take it, Phoebe.
Put them all together, they spell mine.
The word that means the world to me.
The world to me.
Hey, that was wonderful, Chief. You were great.
We were all good.
I think we could do even better.
Hey, Unc!
Leroy, what are you doing up? It's way past your bedtime. We better send the boy home, eh, Chief?
Well, it would be a little irregular, but if the judge is willing to close one eye, I'll close the other.
Run along home, Leroy. I'll close the judge's eye. All right, fellas. All together.
M is for the million things she gave me. Oh, means only that she's growing old. Oh, she's growing
many things she gave me. Oh, means... Oh, it's awfully late. Better look in and see if Leroy got home all right.
Look at him lying there, sleeping so peacefully. Cute little fella. All the cares of the day forgotten. Never a thought for the morrow. Fine boy. I holler at him a lot. But if he only knew, I love every hair on his cunning little head. Sweet dreams, Leroy.
What a character. Good night, everybody.
Directed by Claude Sweet. And this is Ken Carpenter speaking for the Kraft Cheese Company, makers of Parquet Margarine and a complete line of famous quality food products. Kraft invites you to listen again next week for the further adventures of The Great Gildersleeve.
The Great Gildersleeve, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 28th of May, 1944, an NBC episode, with part of the storyline about Gildy's run for mayor of Summerfield. It was a story arc that was begun months earlier, in March of 1944, and would carry on through the end of the 1944 season in June of that year, where he would end up winning the election, but maybe not for long. You're listening to an hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Livonier. Time now for a broadcast of Duffy's Tavern, heard on December 29th, 1950, on NBC.
Here we go, friends, to Duffy's Tavern, starring Archie himself, Ed Gardner.
Duffy's Tavern, where do you late meet to eat? Archie, the manager, speaking. Duffy ain't here. Hello, Duffy. What am I doing? Well, I just worked out our profit and loss statement for the 1950 fiscal. How do the figures look? Beautiful, Duffy. The nicest shade of red you ever seen. Now relapse, Duffy. Please, don't get your corpuscles in an uproar. Because we lose money for 12 straight months. Is that a reason to get worried? Nothing to worry about. We're just a victim of circumstances. We can't seem to find a customer that's got a thirst and a nickel at the same time. Huh? Grogan's across the street? Duffy, stop always comparing us with Grogan, will you? Believe me, I've been watching his place lately, and I admit a lot of people go in there, but believe me, I've seen just as many come out. Anyhow, it's a good sign when our business hits the bottom like this, you see. From now on, there's only one way it can go. Up.
Have you considered sideways?
Cut it out, Eddie. Now, Duffy, forget business and stop worrying, will you, before your scalp turns gray. I'll call you back. Well, Eddie, it's the end of the year now. Leave us take our liquor inventory, hmm?
Okay.
All right. Gin. One bottle.
Check.
One cork.
Check.
One label.
Check.
Brand.
Who cares?
Why?
Bottle's empty.
Well, so much for the liquor inventory.
You know, Mr. Archie, business ain't gonna go up unless we do something about it.
You're right, Eddie. We gotta find some way to revive our business. Hey, Miss Duffy, hand me that newspaper, will you?
A newspaper to revive our business? What are you gonna do, fan it back to life?
No, Miss Duffy, I'm gonna look for ideas. Maybe the newspapers will give me a hint what's ruining us.
But that's last week's paper.
Okay, I'll find out what ruined us last week. Let's see the financial section. Looks bad.
What looks bad?
Freight car loading's down 2%.
Freight car loading? What's that got to do with us?
It's self-obvious, Eddie. Some of our less bourgeois customers ride the rods. A thing like that could cut into our out-of-town trade.
Say, what's this article here on business advice?
Where? Hey, well, what do you know? It's wrote by J.C. Crabtree. He used to be in business right here on 3rd Avenue.
An expert on economics?
He ought to be. He went bankrupt 3 times.
What'd he say?
He says inflation hurts business. If all small businessmen would reduce their prices 1/10, the resulting reduction would be 10%. Hey, that Crabtree makes sense.
Yeah, you can't argue with logic like that.
Yeah, well, Eddie, you know the way prices is now, people just can't make ends meet. So I think it's up to us retail merchants to at least meet their ends halfway.
Well, how are we going to do that?
Well, like that economics guy says, we're going to cut our prices 10%. And we're going to do it effective as of our next customer.
Why can't we start this week?
Why not? However, before we start cutting our prices, we'll naturally have to start cutting our overhead.
Overhead?
Your salary.
You can find it, you can cut it.
Yes, sir. From now on, everything around here will be 10% off.
Hello, Art.
How are you, Finnegan?
Happy New Year!
Hey, wait a minute, Finnegan. New Year's Eve ain't till Sunday night.
Oh, no wonder that cop got mad when I threw confetti in his face.
Finnegan, how come you're celebrating New Year's Eve 2 nights ahead of time?
Well, it's easier to get reservations.
Reservation. Where are you going?
Oh, the store club.
Finnegan, they wouldn't let you in a store club in a million years.
Oh, good. Then I'll have plenty of time to shave. Care to join me, Arch?
No, Finnegan, I'm busy on me plan to cut the high cost of living.
Oh. How does the plan work, Arch?
Well, leave me put it this way. You got a dog, right?
Right.
And you got to wash this dog with flea soap, right?
Right.
Now, how much do you pay for this flea soap?
15 cents.
And how long does it last you?
Assuming I only use it on me dog?
Yeah. How long will the flea soap last?
Well, let's say I give the dog his regular bath every 2 weeks. Then once in a while, I take one myself. It lasts about 8 months, Arch. Why?
Well, you see, if you save 10% on your dog's flea soap, over a period of 2 years, it would come to almost the price of a newspaper or a book or a magazine.
So what, Arch? The dog can't read.
That's aside to the point. I'm trying to explain to you the economic system. You see, economics is a science that the government uses to balance our national income against our national expense.
I see. How does it work?
Not very well. But they get around it, you see, by the Treasury Department declaring a fiscal during each 12 months per annum.
Except February.
You're thinking of the judiciary.
I stand corrected.
Right. Now, normally, prices fluctuate, you see, but sometimes big companies get their cartels together, and they fix these prices so that they can't flux. Now, this is what is known as international monotony.
You mean monopoly.
Do you want to give the lecture?
Sorry, Professor.
Now, take money.
Yeah?
You see, the basis of economics is money, which was originated with the early Romans when they first took their public baths. Now, these baths was for the poor people. The people with dough couldn't get in. Hence the expression, the filthy rich. Yes, sir, there's nothing like an education, huh, Eddie?
Nothing like the one you got.
Thank you very much. But to continue, Finnegan, you see, since the days of the Romans, money has always been a medium of exchange. Except today, it ain't a very happy medium.
Why is that, Arch?
Well, the dollar devaluates less all the time, especially during an era of upward flux. So, as I say, since we are no longer on the gold standard, and since we are no longer on the silver standard, if inflation sets in...
What will we be on then?
I hesitate to say. Well, now that we've discussed high finance, Finnegan, do you have any questions?
Yes.
All right. What's the question?
What time is it?
What time? What's that got to do with finance?
Plenty. My mother pays me a nickel for every hour I stay away from home.
Well, your mother sounds like a very logical woman. Wait a minute. Hey, that's probably some dame calling me for New Year's Eve. Hello, honey. Oh, sorry, bud. You got the wrong number. Huh? You want to talk to Miss Duffy? Brother, you do have the wrong number. But I'll call her. Miss Duffy, telephone.
A man's voice?
Uh-huh.
Oh, my. Hello, this is Miss Duffy speaking, and I'd love to. What? Archie, I thought you said it was a man.
Well, ain't it?
It's my girlfriend, Katrinka Yarbutt.
Even on television, she would have fooled me.
Hello, Katrinka. What? A double date for New Year's Eve. Katrinka, you got a nerve asking me to go out when you know I'm engaged to be married. Where are we meeting them? Uh-huh. What does yours look like? Uh-huh. How about the one you got for me? Uh-huh. How tall? 4'9". Katrinka, you got a nerve asking me to go out when you know I'm engaged. What? You'll call me back. Katrinka, please don't bother. Unless you want to switch fellas. Archie, huh? When are we going to start cutting prices?
Why?
Well, if it wasn't for high prices, I'd already be Mrs. Rodney Maximilian Haybinder.
How come?
Every week, Rodney promises me that as soon as prices come down, we'll get married. The nerve of that Justice of Peace charging $2 for a marriage license.
Hello? Hello, Duffy. Duffy, I got the answer to making money. Yep. We cut prices 10%. It don't make sense? What sense got to do with it? It's economics. Yeah, a guy in a newspaper says that if we all get public-spirited and cut prices 10%, it helps everybody. In other words, if Grogan sells beers for a nickel and we sell them for 4 cents, Grogan is dead. Huh? In that case, we should be public-spirited, huh? Cut the 10%, but don't tell Grogan. Duffy, I'm glad you see the light. Well, gang, the crusade marches on. We're starting with our right foot forward. With Third Avenue against it, inflation has to go. Right, Miss Duffy?
Right.
Right, Eddie?
Right.
Right, Finnegan?
Left.
What? Oh,
excuse me, Arch. I started off on the wrong foot.
See, I called up most of the merchants. Who did I forget? Oh, yeah, Willamack the Butcher. Hello? Willamack's Ham Hock Heaven? Hello, Willamack. This is Archie. Did you hear about the Third Avenue merchants cutting prices 10%? Well, what are you going to do about it? Uh-huh. Attaboy, Willamack. Good. Thanks a lot.
What do you say?
He says from now on, instead of 10 fingers on the scale, he's only going to put on 9. And now, about us, Eddie. Did you reduce the prices?
Well, I took 10% off the food and the beer, but I got one baffling question.
What?
How are you going to reduce the price on the free lunch?
I got it. We throw 10% of it away.
Why don't you be real public-spirited and throw it all away?
Well, we might do that, too. Yes, sir, this thing is really catching on, Eddie. Everybody in the neighborhood is cutting 10%. Except that Grogan, of course.
Everybody?
Yep, Colucci the fruit peddler, Nick the barber.
He gonna take another slash?
Yeah, he's gonna take another 10%.
Oh, you mean shaving lotion is out and plasma is in?
Yep, the whole neighborhood is behind us. And a guy I'm really proud of is Cavendish, the undertaker. He started what he calls the new Cavendish 10% layaway plan.
Well, what's that?
For every 9 customers, he'll throw in 1 free.
If he ain't careful, he's going to run his business right into the ground.
And Arch, there's another place that can take a cut.
Who?
Schmidt's Tattoo Parlor.
The Tattoo Parlor?
Yes. Yeah.
How can they take a cut?
Well, instead of tattoo, they can tap one.
For a remark like that, you should go hang your head and let the rest of you dangle. Now, let's see. Have we got everybody?
How about the Bijou Burlesque?
Well, they said they'd like to take off another 10%. They can't figure out where it's going to come from. No, it means we got everybody but them and Grogan now.
Archie, don't you think we ought to let Grogan in on this, too?
What? Let him in? After that ugly rumor he started about our food? Imagine saying that when Callahan, the mounted cop, rides by the tavern and his horse neighs, our hash neighs back. Absurd, ain't it, Eddie?
Ridiculous. But I have heard it, Winnie.
But Archie, the newspaper man says that this plan won't work unless everybody gets in on it.
Maybe we should let Grogan in. The only thing is, who tells him? I can't talk to him direct.
Why not?
Violate the Third Avenue businessman's code. It's like Macy's talking to Gimbel's, you know. Hart Schaffner's talking to Marx. Like Hornon talking to Hardart. If I deal directly with Grogan, it might lead to a strain in protocol.
Might also lead to a punch in the nose.
That's what I was thinking. I think we better do things on a higher level and maybe send an ambassador.
An ambassador, huh?
Yeah, Eddie.
So you got anybody in mind, said he, cautiously backing away?
No, we won't need you. I'll send Finnegan. But we'll have to dress him up like an ambassador, you know. We'll get him a tuxedo and a walking stick and one of them black hamburger hats. Where could we get them?
Well, you still got that tuxedo in the back room you borrowed from Cavendish's The Undertaker.
Oh, yeah. Get it out, Eddie. Hey, Finnegan.
Finnegan, yeah, Arch?
How would you like to be an ambassador?
What's that, Arch?
An ambassador? Well, generally speaking, that's a guy that says his country has something which it don't in order to scare another country into giving up something that it ain't got, so that both countries can agree to divide something that belongs to somebody else.
Arch, a point.
What?
Why don't they leave the countries alone and just divide up the ambassadors?
And Ian, already you're talking like a diplomat. Nobody can make head or tails out of what you're saying. Now, let's see. Here's your first official mission now. I want you to go over to Grogan's and tell him to cut his prices 10%.
How do I go about it, Arch?
Well, like an ambassador, you see. You've got to use a lot of tact and diplomacy. First, you ask him to cut his prices, see. Then if he says no, you start off by calling him a crook. See, that puts you in a bargaining position. Then, if he argues with you, you tell him he's a lousy Tory. See? Then if he says cutting prices won't help his business, you call him a filthy, dirty liar. But above all, use tact and diplomacy.
Here you are, Mr. Archie.
What?
Cavendish's tuxedo.
Oh, thanks, sir.
Shall I throw the lily away?
No, keep it in. It'll look like our ambassador's wearing a boot. Oh, Finnegan.
What?
Finnegan, here, lay down and try on this tuxedo.
Oh, boy, a tuxedo. Let me try it on. Gee, these pants are swell, Arch.
That's good.
Yeah, but there's something wrong with the coat.
What?
The sleeves keep folding across my chest. Do I look like a real ambassador, Eddie?
Yep, a dead ringer.
Okay, Finnegan, now take your hat and walking stick and get across the street to Grogan's.
Okay, Arch. I'll keep in touch with you by cable.
Eddie, I got a problem.
What?
Well, as soon as word gets around about this price cut, this place is going to be too small. Let's see. I wonder how we could break through that wall.
Just lean against it. Well, who's going to do the cooking for all this mob? Me?
No, I'll have to get an assistant for you, Eddie. Now, let's see. Who can I get?
How about Prince Michael Romanoff?
Yeah, good idea. I'll call him up.
And I thought I was being fantastic.
Let's see now. Hello? Hello, Mike. Look, you're an expert on cooking up guzzatory delicacies. Well, how would you like a part-time job? Money no object.
If it is his object, we're dead.
Well, this is Archie from Duffy's Tavern, and we need an assistant cook. What types of food do we serve? Oh, things like roast breast of casserole. Fresh Columbia River venison. With chutney, of course.
Under glass.
Under glass?
Under stained glass.
Under stained glass. Eddie! Stop disconcerting me, will you? What are our canopies made of? Well, the one out in front is made out of canvas. You mean canopies like anchovy paste? Mike, at Duffy's, we don't use anchovy paste. When our anchovies come apart, we pin them together. Huh? What? I see. Okay, goodbye.
What happened?
We couldn't get together on a price.
What do you mean?
Says he wouldn't come here for $1 million. See, what else do we have to do?
With them crowds coming here, we're going to need more liquor.
That's right, Eddie. Better pour another gallon of water in the scotch.
Mr. Archie, if we water that liquor anymore, we're just going to be the middleman between the customers and the faucets. Why don't you just serve them the water straight? It'll be a lot stronger.
To help take care of the crowds, too.
Okay, Miss Duffy, you can be the cigarette girl. I'll get you one of them short little skirts to wear.
Good. It'll give me a chance to show off my legs.
On second thought, better wear what you got on.
Well, at least they can see my face.
On third thought, I think we'll keep the cigarette machine. Hello? Hello, Duffy. How many people in the place? You mean counting me and Eddie? Two. Oh, sorry, Duffy, no customers. The joint is empty. Yep, even under the tables. Huh? You got a report that Grogan's is doing a big business? But Duffy, after all, Grogan's got a better location than we got. I know we're opposite each other, but don't forget, he's got the wind with him. Duffy, stop worrying. Everything is going to be all right. I can't understand it, Eddie. We both cut prices 10%, and Grogan's getting all the business. What's he got that we ain't got?
Customers.
Yeah, I know that, but why?
Well, don't forget, Grogan's place is pick and span. Food is good and fresh, and the kitchen's nice and clean.
That's the trouble with business these days, Eddie. Dirty competition. I'm going to check this thing. Hello? Better Business Bureau? Could you tell me why business ain't no better? Oh, that ain't your job. You just investigate complaints? What kind of complaints? Restaurants that put horse meat in a hash? Water in their liquor? Who am I? Just a friend. Thank you very much. Hey, Eddie, look, let's look across the street at Grogan's. Hey, look at them over there. They're packed in there like fish.
Oh, yeah, they got so many, they're throwing the little ones out.
Oh, wait a minute. Here comes our ambassador.
Hey, Arch!
Oh, you're back, Finnegan. Tell me, what happened at Grogan's?
Boy, did I sell Grogan your idea.
Did you, huh? Yeah. Did you get him to cut his prices 10%?
10%? Arch, I got him to cut them 20%.
20%?
Yeah, I maxed him double or nothing.
Oh, Finnegan, you ruin everything. The next time I send an idiot someplace to louse things up, I'm going to go myself.
Duffy's Tavern, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 29th of December, 1950, an NBC episode. And that brings the curtain down on this hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great shows from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for tuning in.